This is the Tom Likas Show.
The show is about getting pussy and enjoying life without being bitches.
This is too good to be true.
Fucking amazing.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern. 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me, in a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us, as he always does, here he is, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, welcome.
Good evening, Tom.
What's going on in the world of family law?
Well, I have been thinking this week a lot about comments that people make. Or they say that they don't like the way the system works, or lawyers particularly, you know, are taking too much money, or it's not fair, or they drag things out, or whatever. And I have an example of something that happened today that I think is going to really give some background and understanding on what this all means and where this all comes from. And the reality is, I really believe this, in all fairness, even though I'm a lawyer, I'm involved in the system directly, but I really see how so much of what happens is actually very much attributable to human nature. And there's no doubt about that. Now, today, I'm involved in a case of a mother who's trying to get sole custody. It's not so unusual. What women somehow cannot believe is that the father has equal rights to them. And it's not 51-49, it's 50-50. And somehow women think they have some kind of, you know, superior right. They tend to think that because, you know, they carried the baby and gave birth to the baby and breastfed the baby, that somehow they've got something bigger than what the father has. And unfortunately, the law for a very long time has reflected a lot of that. And it had, you know, rewarded women, especially, you know, with younger children. There was a thing called the tender years doctrine, that young children always went to the mother. And then there's just these general presumptions that somehow the father isn't as good a parent or something. And, you know, the psychology has shown that both parents are very, very critical for the children in different ways, perhaps. But neither is more important than the other. And the law, particularly in a country like the United States, a very progressive state like California and the other states, which follow California, California leads when it comes to law. But all the states are supposed to think this way because we're not supposed to discriminate. And yet, as we know, when women come to court, particularly in family law court, they expect to be somehow given an advantage. And they often are, tragically, by men judges and women judges, I'm sorry to say. So anyway, this woman went in today and tried to get an emergency order to have her child with her sole custody. Right now, it's joint custody between the two parents, and she's furious about that. And she wants to have the right to decide everything and to have primary custody. And the father, maybe if she does him a big favor, can see the kid like every other weekend or something like that. Where right now, the time is actually split half and half. So this is driving her up the wall. But anyway, she went in today in court, and I sat, you know, as I'm supposed to, with her lawyer, who's, you know, not a bad guy, and, you know, we get along semi-okay. It's not like super hostile or anything. And I told him, I said, you know, you're not going to win today. I don't know why you're doing this. And he just looked at me and smirked. And I have to say that that moment really meant a lot. I mean, he basically, you know, between us, and not in any kind of public way, and it's nothing that I could ever, like, you know, use in court or whatever. But I said to him, you know, you're not going to get what you want today. You're going to lose. And he basically acknowledged that he knew that. So, in other words, he was doing it for the money. Basically, mom wanted to do it. He's getting paid by the hour. And if she's willing to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on a useless gesture today, then he was willing to go along. Now, the reality was we went in front of the judge. The judge was super annoyed because it was really stupid. The judge read my papers, which were excellent. They read his that were garbage, and the judge ruled for me. So basically, legally, nothing happened. The custody was not changed or whatever. But I think from his point of view, he did something that in a way is unethical, but it's something that the law allows, which is that he brought a motion that no way was going to be approved. But theoretically, it could have been. So you can't just call it frivolous. You're not supposed to file frivolous things, but frivolous means completely pointless and useless and no way that they're going to win. Hypothetically speaking, he made some arguments that made a little bit of sense, and so he could have won, so therefore his motion was not frivolous. But on the other hand, it was crap. But the important thing, see, if it was me, and I think I'm more honest with my clients, maybe to my detriment, I would have told my client, if it was the woman, for example, I would have said to her, look, I know you're angry, I know you want to do this, but it has no chance, okay? And you're going to spend money on this, we're going to go to court, you can take the day off from work, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. It's less than 1%. There's no point in doing it. And I think that's me being decent and being honest to my client. But the thing is not every lawyer thinks that way. And this chick is very high strung. She's like, she actually was in the hallway today in the courthouse, and she started screaming at me, and she's like yelling, and she's like practically throwing things. I mean, she's really wound up. And so she must have called him and said, I want you to do this. I want you to do it right now, and just do it, and don't argue, and whatever. And, you know, as a lawyer, you're providing services. Your client tells you they want to do something. You know, you're getting paid. What the hell? You do it. You don't argue. And, you know, I don't think that he thinks the way that I do, so he probably told her, hey, if you want to do it, let's do it. Okay. I don't think he told her that there was no chance, because it seemed to me from her body language that she was pretty confident. She thought she was going to win today. And when she didn't, which was, I think, totally predictable, she was really upset. She was really, really deflated and furious. And she had this chip on her shoulder like it was really going to go her way. And in a way, her lawyer didn't prepare her for the truth, which is very dishonest of him. But, you know, maybe you're allowed to do that. And I think from a strictly ethical point of view, it's not the nicest thing that he did. But I don't think you could really say that it was unethical. And this is what I meant about human nature. There's a very, very famous judge that you read when you're in law school. I know a lot of the audience probably hasn't gone to law school, so I'm going to share this with you guys. This is a judge named Learned Hand. That's not a joke. That's really his name, Judge Learned Hand.
Is his destiny.
It's not a joke, right, Tom? I know what his mother was thinking, right?
Well, yes. Well, but by the way, sometimes you have a name like that, and then you grow up to be that.
Yeah, or not.
You know, the second baseman for the Seattle Mariners is a guy named Robinson Cano, and he's from the Dominican Republic. And what people don't know about Robinson Cano, you know, he's Hispanic. How did he get a first name like Robinson? Well, his father was also a baseball player, and he named his son after the second baseman for the Brooklyn Dodgers, Jackie Robinson.
Nice.
And Robinson Cano grew up to become a second baseman in Major League Baseball, first for the New York Yankees and then for the Mariners. So I think sometimes you are given a name and you act. When I say your name is your destiny, I'm only half kidding. I think that happens a lot.
I think also, Tom, when people have an unusual name, you know, these like strange first names especially, I think that that also marks you for life in some way, you know? So anyway, Judge Learned Hand made this famous quote. He wrote a lot of really great cases, if he wasn't a judge, he would have been like a great writer, you know? And in one of his opinions, he said that one of the most important things that a lawyer has to do is to tell his client sometimes that he's a damn fool and he should stop. And I think that is profound. I really do. And I think that's true in life, certainly in law, and a lot of different aspects in different fields and so forth. I have sat with many a lawyer who had a, you know, client who was willing to spend the money, a client who had the money, maybe even didn't have the money, was, you know, borrowing the money, but they were willing to, you know, out of anger perhaps, throw it on the table. And as long as they kept paying, the lawyer kept filing stuff and kept the ball bouncing. And, you know, there's this really interesting expression, which is that if you have an enemy that you fight, and the purpose of fighting your enemy is very important to you, and it becomes your life's, you know, purpose and the reason for living, then you have an investment in keeping that enemy alive. So it's interesting, when the Soviet Union disappeared in 1989, I think that there were probably a lot of people, let's say in the Pentagon, in the Defense Department, who had been fighting communism their whole lives and had been strategizing how to beat the Soviet Union their whole lives and how to, you know, defend the United States against them and so forth. And that wasn't just a joke. That was considered a very real threat. And then one day, when your enemy disappears, it's like you've lost your purpose. Like, you don't have any function anymore. And it could actually be very disemboweling and destroying of yourself, that you had this focus on this person, and now that person's gone, and so what do? You don't have any reason to live anymore. And it's a terrible thing, and I've had terrible, terrible conflicts. Particularly was a couple of lawyers that I really had, you know, I was high strung and they were high strung, and we were beating each other up. And then, you know, one day we both said, you know, this is stupid. We shook hands, and it was like all of a sudden this thing that I was concentrated on, you know, just disappeared. And, you know, you have to find another thing, because you can't. I mean, it's like, you know, these people that become like crazy religious or whatever, it's like they need that. You need to have this focus. And one of the great quotes, and this is not from someone from a book, but this is actually one of my teachers in law school, who was a famous judge and very, very sharp, really kind of a really great guy. He was a federal judge, and in his office he had pictures of himself with like John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson and Nixon and Ford, and he had been appointed by all these presidents in different international courts and federal courts or whatever. And he said that this is really important, this is crucial, is that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. And I think I've mentioned this before. This, to me, is absolutely crucial in life. And what one of the things that we get back to, which is just terrible, and this is really harsh. I mean, I'm going to sound like the worst misogynist in the world. But one of the realities, I really think, when we talk about Lycus 101 and the background of some of these things and all this crazy stuff I see, you know, on a daily basis in family court, fundamentally, women are very, very immature. And that's just true. I'm not saying that all men are paragons of maturity, but women in particular are childish. And I've talked about this with, some of the writings that I've referred to from, for example, Schopenhauer, who, you know, was saying that a woman has to be childish because she is going to be spending a lot of time with children, her own children. And, it's unfair when we say how there's no gender in all this, but the truth of the matter is that women, you know, biologically are going to have a child, and a lot of the primary care of that child is going to be on them. I think that fathers are important, but I think father's role probably is much more relevant later. It's like the mother is with the child when the child's newborn and breastfeeding and helpless and tiny. And as the child's getting bigger, then the inner world of inside the home is the mother with the child. And as the child gets older and wants to, you know, explore, that's the father. The father takes the child out, teaches the child how to ride a bicycle, teaches the child how to hunt, boy or girl. And sort of shows like the more dangerous stuff, where the mother is more protecting. And Freud talked a lot about this, with the child separating from the mother. And if you, you know, don't separate, you end up having all kinds of emotional problems and so forth. But the balance between the two is very, very significant. And for a woman, particularly we see, you know, the modern woman today who's, you know, supposed to be educated and have a career and all this other good stuff. When she sits there and she has to kind of regress herself back to a more immature version of herself to be able to sit and play with a one-year-old. Now, one-year-olds are really cute, you know, or two-year-olds or whatever, but, you know, you're playing a game, you're doing little tea parties, or you're playing with puzzles or whatever. You know, you've got to be able to deal with that as an adult, and I think that women are having much more patience for that, because fundamentally, women are much more immature and much less involved. And the thing is, to take a woman and to put her into family court, okay, and you see how scared and how dangerous it is. And when people are threatened and when people are afraid, people go into kind of a survival mode. This is very much shown in terms of fighting and battle, or in war, where the soldier, you know, you become visceral and you become really focused. And people always say it looked like it was happening in slow motion. And, you know, the focus of attention becomes very, very, you know, intense, and your adrenaline runs really high. And I think when that happens to a woman, she becomes more and more immature and more visceral and more insane. And this is the thing. When you talk about what I was saying, the need to, you know, be told you got to stop, you know, you've gone too far, to recognize that you don't do everything you can do. You have to look at things, and just because you can do them doesn't mean it's smart to do them. And then, unfortunately, and especially in our system in the USA, where you have a lawyer, and as much as he or she might be decent and might care about you and might care about your case, there's also a huge financial incentive. Now, it's crazy, but when I go into a settlement conference, believe it or not, I am better off, theoretically, if the case doesn't settle. Okay, so here it is. If we settle right here and now, then the case is done. You're going to give me my final bill payment, and then that's it. On the other hand, if we don't settle, then we're going to have to go to a trial. That's going to take 5 days. You're going to owe me a lot of money for that. And so in a crazy way, it's against the interests of the lawyers, even your own lawyer, for things to settle. Now, settling is probably the best thing for you because it avoids a lot of the fight. It avoids a lot of the expense, the blood, sweat, and tears, the whole thing. And it probably is going to lead to a better result than you're going to get from some stranger judge, as opposed to settling yourself and doing it on your own terms and trying to have some kind of peace with your ex, especially if you have children or whatever. So that's this kind of conflict of interest. Now, you know, when you talk about fiduciary relationships, you know, Tom, you've talked about the stockbroker who makes money when you trade stock.
Right.
Now,
yes.
If he's giving you financial advice, you're getting screwed, okay, because he's not necessarily thinking first of you. He's thinking about his desire to sell what the company's selling, to promote what they're promoting, to get you to make trades so he can make commissions and so forth. And when you talk about a real estate broker or a real estate agent, likewise, they don't necessarily have your interest. They want to sell the house, or they want to, you know, help you buy a house, and they may not be trying to get you the best price because their commission is only going to be off by a few decimal points if it's 10,000 less or 20,000 more or whatever for you. They want to close the deal. An attorney, however, is not supposed to be like that. An attorney is a fiduciary. That means that you're supposed to put your client first and not have any interest. That's why when you're an attorney, you can't have financial interests in the things you're doing whatsoever for your client, because you can never have a conflict of interest. You're supposed to only think of your client. And here we go back to the story from today. This lawyer, and I'm not saying he's the most evil guy in the world, he's just a professional. But he brought something today. He probably billed his client maybe $5,000 or more dollars just for today to prepare the documents, to consult. He had this big thing. It was like 100 pages with exhibits and all this. And he probably spent many hours working on it. So I'm not saying he cheated her, but he did cheat her because he played to her anger. And he did this thing that she wanted that I think in his smirk, unless he's an idiot, he knew that it wasn't going to happen. He knew that it couldn't. And I said to him, this is nonsense. And he knew that I was right, okay? But he took the money and he did it anyway because it's what the client wanted. And you're talking to an immature woman who I think in this case is immature anyway, but she's also in this survival mode and this visceral mode. And I think perhaps somewhere the lawyer should have told her, we shouldn't do this. This isn't going to work. Let's try something else. This is not going to work for you. But the problem is, again with the system, is that if he had told her that, she might have fired him and hired a lawyer who would do it, who doesn't want to tell her the truth. And that's the problem. This is how things get weird. So when I tell you guys not to get married, there are multitudes of reasons that that's true. But this is one of them, which is fundamentally that at some point, and this is even if you stay married, at some point, your life is going to be in the hands of a crazy person. Now, I'm not saying that all women are insane or whatever, but you're talking about real confusion, immaturity, real simplistic thinking, real childish thinking. And here you have been working your ass off, you've saved a lot of money, you've invested, you bought a house, you're trying to live a good life, you have children you care about, let's say, you're trying to do the right thing. And sooner or later, you're going to be looking in the face of a child. Except it's not just a child. It's a child that has power over you. You know, back in the days of Saddam Hussein, who was the dictator of Iraq, he had two sons. One son was pretty conservative, but he had another son who was crazy, okay? It was Uday and Qusay. And Uday was insane, okay? But get this. Uday went to, like, regular school. And, you know, it was like, I guess, probably upper class, you know, Baghdad or whatever. But he actually knew, like, people. He went to school and met other kids, and they may have been from, you know, prominent families or whatever. But this is the thing. Uday, let's say, is, you know, let's say 10 or 12 years old, right? And he's in, you know, fourth grade, and he's playing with this kid that he likes, and he invites this kid over to his house. So now your son, you're from, like, you know, some good family or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Your son goes to the palace, and he's playing with Uday Hussein in the palace. And he's 12, and they're playing trucks or something. And Uday is a great kid, and everyone's having a good time, but all of a sudden, he's angry at his playmate, okay? And he thinks the playmate's, you know, not being fair with him. That happens with kids. Kids fight, right? Except Uday strangles your kid to death, okay? And that's totally okay because he's Uday. You can't do anything to him. And this is the problem. You're dealing with someone who's cute and adorable. This is your wife or your girlfriend, and you're having a good time with her. But the problem is, if anything gets weird, okay, all of a sudden the whole system is behind her talking about splitting up your assets, giving her half your business, fucking you around with the kids, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and you're talking to a child who doesn't know when to stop. And even if she has professional help, like an attorney, he has every incentive to spend your money to keep it going also. So when you're telling her, honey, you've got to stop, okay? Let's not fight. Let's not throw away the kids' college money on this nonsense. She is going to go to her lawyer and say, what do you think I should do? And her lawyer is going to tell her, fight to the end. Teach him a lesson. And she's going to take that advice. And so the problem is you don't have rationality. And that's something, Tom, by the way, that's reflected very much in the stories you've told many times in dealing with your ex-wives, the one that was going to ruin your career and turn you upside down and shake you and all that nonsense.
Yep.
Okay. That came straight from her lawyer. Okay. And there's no one in the system who knows when to pull the frickin' brakes. That's the problem. And as a person, as a man, you have too much riding on it. You're talking about your whole future. Hear this case I did today. This woman is torturing this guy for years now over his kid, over every single detail. Everything's a fight. Getting dental help for the kid, whether the kid should see a therapist, what school the kid should go to, what the book bag should be, what the kid's name should be. Literally fighting over changing his last name, not to have the father's name or whatever. Every single little thing. Everything is immediately a fight. The kid comes home to her from being with the father. She immediately calls Child Protective Services because the kid has a scratch, or the kid has a little bruise that he got playing, or the kid is biting his nails, okay? And that proves that he's been tortured and he's been, you know, abused, and she immediately reports the father, and then, you know, 3 months later, we're still dealing with that, okay? And this is someone who does not know when to stop, and does not have any incentive to stop, and doesn't have anyone to tell her when to stop. And literally, this is the craziness of it. I talk to these women 5 and 10 years later, and they say, I can't believe I spent $100,000 on my lawyer on my divorce. And now I'm broke, and there's no money for the kids to go to college, and I lost my house, and I blah, 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 have debts, etc. But the problem is that if I had spoken to her 10 years earlier, when she was in the thick of it, and I said this to her logically, she doesn't have a logical mind. She doesn't have a planning mind. She doesn't have a brain that tells her when to stop. And that, like aside from everything we ever talked about, Tom, that's the reason that you cannot put yourself in this position. You just can't.
Guys talk to me about it all the time. Well, what if I do this? What if I get her to sign this? What if we agree to this? She's a unicorn. She's not like the others. Blah, 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 blah. The problem is that because of our system being as it is, and it ain't going to change in terms of the underpinning of capitalism, which I fundamentally really believe in and agree with. I'm no socialist, okay? But the idea that your attorney in particular and the system itself are incentivized to keep it going means it's going to keep going. And if you're depending on a woman to think rationally and to stop herself, you are going to be very, very disappointed. I talk to a lot of guys who tell me, that let's say they call me and the case is already going on for a while, and they tell me, you know, it's not my ex-wife. She's okay. It's her mother who's telling her to do this. It's her lawyer who's telling her to do this. She's encouraged because the judge, or she has this, by the way, classic, she has a nasty girlfriend. There's always this bitchy girlfriend that the wife has who's already divorced for a few years, and she encourages your wife to, like, divorce you and stick it to you or whatever. The reality is, I tell the guys, it doesn't really matter. If it's her idea or not, or if it's the mother's idea, the mother-in-law, or the sister, or the friend, or whoever, she's doing it to you. And he says, well, I really think if you just talk to her lawyer, you know, she's going to stop. If you just deal with her lawyer, just explain it, she's going to stop. And the answer is, you know something? I know that's very optimistic. I'd like to be optimistic with you. But the reality is, actually, most likely, she isn't going to stop. And I hope that you're not counting on that, because most likely, you're going to be super duper disappointed. And so, boys, I don't think there's any way around this. And I have to tell you, in my humble opinion, it's best avoided.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We got calls coming in here, Adam. We want to get to these guys.
Great.
And if you got a question for family law attorney Adam Sachs, now's the time. Here's the phone number, 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now, 901-3000-TOM. All right, you guys ready? Let's do it, 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour. The family law attorney Adam Sachs. Your calls, 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. Come on, boys. Let's go. 901-3000-866. Jimmy is in Lake Elsinore, California. Jimmy, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing? Just listening to your show today.
Thanks.
And a quick question as far as divorce.
Sure.
My wife and I recently married, coming up on 2 years, but we've been together almost 10. Lately, we've been going to see a therapist, just working on some stuff, trying to improve our marriage. And our therapist thinks our best interest would be to get a divorce.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Therapy is often last exit before toll, right, Tom?
Well, of course. And by the way, married 2 years and to already be in therapy.
Yeah.
It's very telling.
That's a bad sign.
Well, I mean,
sign.
We've been together almost 10 years.
That's a really bad sign. But it's funny, your therapist theoretically is supposed to, you know, help you out, but it's very common that the divorce details are negotiated at the therapist's office, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't as far, you know, it wasn't in depth. We just threw around the word, and that was, I'd say, about 3 months ago, and the word divorce has just been coming up off and on
Why does the therapist think you should get a divorce?
I guess our ideologies just aren't even remotely the same, you know. She was raised, you know, having money. Dad took care of the family. Mom didn't work.
Right.
And now that's how she wants to live her life. And, you know, my parents weren't like that. Both my mom and dad worked. And you know, I like dual income. She wants to be taken care of and sitting at home with the kids. We don't have any kids right now.
So
and
she wants to sit home with the kids that don't exist.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the future when she wants to have kids. So.
But let me ask you, I mean, you mentioned that aside from the 2 years of marriage, and Tom is right, that's a short time, but you have a 10-year relationship, right? So, I mean, didn't you guys discuss any of these things in all that time?
Yeah, and, you know, she told me, you know, just, oh, I want to be this when I grow up. I want to do this. And, you know, everything seemed great. And then just until recently, you know, it kind of popped up. You know, I know I just want to be a mom, basically.
Amazing. You know, it's really uncanny considering all these career women and rah-rah and they want to be CEOs and all that. And Tom has often talked about this, that, you know, when she moves in or you marry her, all of a sudden she has a different idea that maybe maybe working isn't all it was cracked up to be, you know? It's a bigger pain in the ass than she ever imagined. Well, you know, the one good thing in your circumstances that you've described, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly what's going on, but you don't have kids. So, I mean, that takes a lot of the pressure off. I don't know if you guys are using birth control or whatever. You don't want to have an accident right now. But, I mean, it is a fundamental concern because I can tell you if she's laying this noise on you right now, when you actually do have a child or more, you know, two or whatever, you're dead. I mean, she's just going to kill you. She's, you know, and she'll play it. She'll say, look, I told you I want to work and screw you, I'm not working. And, you know, you may feel very burdened, you know, for the next, you know, 20 years,
you can't force someone
carrying her, essentially.
I see what you mean.
The other thing you mentioned, you know, and this is important when you get married or you're dating someone, is to look at the factory, you know, where she came from. You know, her parents, like you described, her dad supported the mother. The mother was a stay-at-home mom, and she obviously is trying to model herself after that to some degree. So, you know, that's pretty fundamental. I'm not saying, you know, you got to definitely get a divorce or whatever the therapist is telling you. There's some real basis in it, obviously. So what do you have a legal question? Where are you coming from?
The legal question is just because it's been thrown up, I'm just wondering what's going to come out of it if a divorce comes. I mean, I'm assuming split everything 50-50. Yeah. You know, we don't have kids, so we don't have to do a custody battle or anything like that. But, you know, as far as my job and everything, retirement savings, all that. I mean, where's that going? Do I have to pay alimony just for 2 years of marriage or what?
Well, the one problem that really does exist is that if you are kind of allowing this, let's say, I don't know if that's the right word, but if you're married to a woman that doesn't work, and obviously 2 years is not a long time, but broadly speaking, and I talk to guys like this all the time with a woman for 5 and 10 and more years that didn't work, is unfortunately that's going to be, in her view, her standard of living. So when she goes to court, you know, like if your wife was a lawyer and she was making a lot of money, the judge would say, well, she doesn't need alimony. Obviously, she's making more than you. And that happens a lot, by the way, nowadays. Lots of guys make less than their wife. But in your case, your wife may have the expectation, you know, for the 2 years that your marriage is what counts, but also going back to all the years you were together. You know, that she hasn't worked in several years. She doesn't have a real career set up. She may have some kind of an expectation to say that, you know, she needs you to support her. And that is, oh, man, that's a nightmare. Because, you know, if she tells her history and she does this and whatever, you know, you're a goner. What's going to happen? You're going to end up having to support her. You know, if you're only married a short time, the alimony might be only for a year or two. But even at the end of that time, she's going to come back to court and say that she needs more, and she still doesn't have a job, and she's still getting trained. I knew a woman that said she had to go back to college and to get some kind of a technical diploma, and she ended up stretching that out for almost 10 years. And she kept demanding alimony during all that time. And if this entitled woman thinks that because her father took care of her mother, you know, she's going to lay that on you. So
and a judge would approve that.
It's possible,
for someone's being lazy.
Well, the judge's point of view, the judge's point of view is that he works for the government, okay? And so he figures if she does not, you know, get money from you, she's going to end up on welfare, you know? And that's even worse.
Yeah, we don't want that.
So the judge goes, well, stick it to this guy here rather than the citizens who have to pay the welfare. So you got to really be careful. And I don't know what you're doing with her, but I would not be having unprotected sex with her. I don't know if you use condoms or maybe you guys don't have sex anymore, which is pretty typical when you're married. But this is a great time for her to get accidentally pregnant, okay? And if she's thinking she has to stay home and she's thinking that the divorce is in the air and you're talking about it and maybe you're going to dump her any day now or something's going to happen, it's a good moment for her to get pregnant, have a baby, and really stick it to you for the next 20 years financially, you know?
Yeah.
So,
if you're having sex with her, today would be a good day to stop.
Seriously. Do you guys still have a sexual relationship?
I think he thinks we're kidding.
Well, I know.
I mean, we do. It's not as often, obviously, as before.
But who's responsible for the birth control?
As they say on Maury, it only takes one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's responsible for the birth control?
I mean, this might sound strange, but we haven't used birth control for probably 2 to 3 years.
Oh, really?
I guess I just pull out in time.
No, okay, pull-out method does not work, scientifically speaking. It's not funny, dude. I don't know why you're laughing. You're going to be crying when you call me and she's taking money from you and you lose your driver's license and your passport and she starts seizing your bank accounts, okay? I understand you're married. That kind of puts a different spin on it. But, you know, you can't just pull out or just not use birth control. That's idiotic. That means the fact that you haven't had a child now is strictly luck. And that just I don't know what to say, pal. That's crazy. Tom, say something.
Okay.
Oh, I already did. I mean, look, I think he's still going to have sex with her. And I think he's going to continue to not use a condom. And I think I agree. Adam, obviously, I've said a million times, so you know I agree with you.
Yeah.
This is exactly when they accidentally get pregnant.
Right. So, sir, how do I get through to you? How do I communicate to you? Come on. You got to do better than this.
No, I mean, I get it. That's not even a big deal. I mean,
do you really? Do you really?
Yeah, it is a big deal.
It's a really big deal.
No, I mean, going out and getting protection is not a big deal.
No, but
I
do you really?
Say, hey, you know.
Do you understand that pulling out is not a form of birth control? Do you understand that?
Yeah, I know that.
So that's what you do.
I mean, yeah, that's what it's been like.
Okay, so you realize that's idiotic, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's.
I mean, if you don't want to have kids, then it is. Yeah.
Okay. So,
but do you want to have kids with somebody you think you have divorcing?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I mean, like I said, this conversation hasn't came up until the last 3 or 4 months.
No, but
yeah, but you're at the therapist's office.
Yeah, come on, you're having problems, obviously, right? Things weren't going
well.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's more on her end because I've been, you know, for lack of a better word, nagging her to get a job and get out of the house.
But who cares whose fault it is? That doesn't.
She's
matter.
Never going to do that. Do you understand that?
Yeah. And that's kind of what the therapist hinted at me, too. You know, that's just the way
her
life is. That's how she was raised.
The therapist should be screaming it at you.
It's never going to happen. I'm the one who got married to someone who conveniently got, quote, unquote, laid off 3 months after we got married.
Yes.
And didn't go back to work for 10 years.
10 years, man. Did you hear that?
Once they made it clear that that's how they are, it isn't changing. And you can't change it.
Yep.
I could, you know, they need therapists who can cut through the shit. Because if you're at the therapist's office and she's not working, and doesn't want to go back to work, I think it's 3 strikes, you're out.
But, Tom, this sounds like a fairly high-quality therapist.
She's telling an expensive therapist.
Whatever. I know. She's telling him. The therapist is actually telling him, you guys are probably going to get a divorce. He doesn't want to hear it, you know?
And you say you're happy, but you're not happy, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, I mean, the biggest problem is just the lack of income. I mean, we don't own a house; we're renting. So, you know, I'd like to get out of there and buy a house, but you know, the lack of income it's hard. Which
why
is
would you
want
to? Why would you want to buy a house with someone who's too lazy to work?
Well, like I said, it's hard to break off a relationship of 10 years.
Why is that exactly?
Well, guess what? you are never going to get what you want with her. Never.
Yeah.
Never, never, never.
Makes sense.
So she's going to change or things are going to get better or something? Hope springs eternal?
Yeah. I mean, that's what she's been saying, obviously.
No, do me a favor.
Not
don't,
true.
Don't be her lawyer, okay? You don't have to advocate for her. I don't need to know what she said. What do you say?
Yeah, that's not working out the way it is now.
Okay. So, this is what's going to happen. You're going to call me in about 6 months when she's pregnant. And you're going to say, it's not funny. You're going to say, Adam, what the hell do I do now? I'm screwed. Okay?
Yeah.
Or, by the way, one of these days, she's going to wander into a lawyer's office, and she'll initiate the divorce. And it'll catch you completely by surprise. And you'll call me, and you'll say, Adam, I got served with documents. I can't believe it. The bitch sued me for divorce. And she wants alimony. And she wants the house. And she wants child support. And she wants half my pension. What am I going to do now?
Yeah, nothing much you can do then.
You're already halfway down that road.
So I guess is the advice just to break it off, or?
My advice or Adam's advice?
You're both on the phone.
It's the same advice.
I think you can safely say it's both our advice.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well.
You, and by the way, I've been doing this my whole life, you were hoping to call in here and get us to rubber stamp your bad relationship.
Hell yeah. Hey, you know what? I've got another idea. Seriously.
Uh-huh.
I don't want you to feel we're backing you into a corner here. Maybe it would be a good idea for you to talk to a therapist. And I don't mean in this marital therapy sense. I mean, in all seriousness, okay? You know, and I'm not trying to put you down, but it's not normal and it's not healthy to want to stay with someone that doesn't want you. You know what I mean? Someone that doesn't love you, someone that's giving you a hard time. Someone that's saying they want to get a divorce and all this other nonsense. I mean, she doesn't sound like a really delicious, loving partner to be with. You know what I mean? And if you reach this impasse, this stalemate, where she wants to stay home and you're supposed to be her slave and support her, and you don't really want to do that, then your intelligence should be telling you the things that I and Tom are saying to you now. And so it might be a good idea for you to talk to someone, and it doesn't have to be a therapist. Maybe your dad, maybe your older brother, maybe someone you respect, priest, rabbi, I don't know, whatever. You need to talk to someone and think about this, because if you think about it rationally, you're going to realize that you have to go. You don't need me and Tom to tell you that. It's going to be something that'll come from you because it's so freaking obvious. You know what I mean?
Yep, I know what you're saying.
Give that a try. It sounds to me in a lot of ways that this woman has kind of beaten you down. We talk about a guy who's a, you know, like a beaten dog, and I mean, I'm not trying to hurt you with that, but you need to find yourself and you need to find your voice and your balls and save yourself, because this woman is strangling you and it's so bad that you don't even realize it's happening. Okay.
Yeah, it's good to hear. It's good to hear it.
And stop having sex with her. I really mean it. The pull-out method is bullshit. I mean it. Stop having sex with her,
sir.
Because you will be so. You will be so sorry. You don't even understand the pain. I deal with these guys every day in court with their money being taken. They don't get to see their kid. The kid is being raised by the mother to hate them. You don't even want to know all the different permutations that can happen. It is so much better now. You don't have a kid. You can make a clean break. You can deal with her nonsense and move on. Okay, there's a whole world of people out there. There's a whole world of things to do. You don't need to have this woman shitting on you every day. Let her find some other sucker to support her.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you helping me out and everything.
For sure.
Providing the advice.
No problem. I hope you take it.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
Oh, dear.
Oh, we got another one here. For our friend, family law attorney Adam Sachs, here comes Dallas in San Diego. On the Tom Likas Show. Dallas, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not bad.
Great.
How are you, Dallas?
Hey, you know, I could be doing a lot better, but I could be doing a lot worse. I just got to say for everybody that's listening right now, and if that last caller is still listening, you guys just gave him the best advice of his life.
I think so,
Listen to a little bit of my story, and he'll know why.
I don't think he was going to take it. I'm not so sure. Sounded like a nice guy, but he's beaten up.
Hey, you know what? I was a nice guy for way too long, and it did me no favors.
Right.
So
what happened?
All right. Long story short, I'm 34 years old. Me and my soon-to-be ex-wife were married for almost 10 and a half years together since we were kids, obviously.
Not the high school sweetheart and all that crap. Jeez.
Well, you can call it that, but it's a story regardless.
Okay. And you have three kids?
So like I said, we have three kids. We've been having problems on and off for the last few years, you know, always seem to try to work things out. We both come from families of divorce, and we always said that, you know, no matter what came between us, we'd at least, you know, make it, you know, so that our kids could grow up in a normal house until, you know, they were old enough to either be okay with it or until they were out of the house.
A normal house of kids that are fighting. Parents are fighting.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's what finally came between us is the fighting. You know, it was just, you know, yelling, screaming kind of stuff, but that's what eventually put me out of the house. It was a big fight, whatever. She was at work, I was at home, and I knew that that was going to come home to the kids. And, you know, I kind of just told her, you know, one of us needs to, you know, take off when you get home so that the kids don't need to see this anymore. And, you know, so I was the one to leave that day. And a month later, I'm still not back in my house. And she's filing for divorce, like, imminently here.
So you let her file. She's the one that got the jump on it.
She hasn't yet.
Okay, so what are you waiting for?
To time off work to go do it.
Okay. It sounds funny, okay, but it's not, all right? It makes a very, one second, strategically speaking, it makes a very big difference who files, okay? The person who files has a lot of advantages of the initiative and choosing the court and getting it set up right with the judge. The other person has spent the whole divorce playing catch-up, okay? And so you're putting yourself into that position. It's very classic. You've left, and you're in limbo, but you're not doing anything.
Yep.
And you're essentially waiting for her to do something. Well, I can assure you, she will do something, okay? Women file something like 85 to 90% of divorces, and this is why.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing is, like, you know, up until, like, 2 days ago, I didn't even know that's what was going on.
What's going on?
I knew. Yeah,
but if you move out, what do you think is happening next? You're going to reconcile for the millionth time?
With our discussions that we had with each other, she said that she wasn't filing for divorce, that she just wanted to be separated for now.
Okay, let's say that was true. Let's say that was true. In all seriousness, why would you want that? So you're not together, you're in limbo, you have no rights to your kids, you've given up your property, you don't live in your own house, you're still paying the bills, and you're like, oh, let's not file, that's a good, we agree, honey, I'll just pay for absolutely everything, and you can just live in my house with another man. Seriously? Is that what you would want?
No, that's exactly what I needed to hear, you know?
No, what? I'm amazed, and you, I presume, have lost interest in sex as well, right? So you don't want to move on with a new woman. You want to pine over this bitch for the rest of your life.
You could say that.
Okay. Well, that's really twisted. And by the way, that's one of the reasons that you don't get involved with your high school sweetheart or your elementary school sweetheart or whatever, okay? It sounds to me like you don't have a lot of experience. You haven't been on a lot of dates. She's the only woman you've been with your entire life, okay? And that might have worked in the Middle Ages, but this is not the Middle Ages, okay? Seriously. And it's the opposite problem also. One of the reasons you have problems with a woman like that, it's not only you, it's also her, believe it or not. Now, she may have her first kid when she's 16 and then have another couple of kids in her early 20s. That's stupidity. But when she finally hits 29, okay, and she turns on the TV and she sees her friends going out and having fun, she says to herself, you know, I've only been with this one guy my whole life, okay, and he's a loser, okay? That's how she thinks of you, all right?
Oh, yeah.
No offense.
No,
you could become perfectly clear. Well, you could be a multi-zillionaire. It doesn't make any difference. To her, you're a loser, okay? Second of all, I've been raising these kids since I'm 16 years old, and now they're, you know, in preschool or whatever. They don't really need me anymore, okay? And I want to have some fun, okay? And so you're the one who's preventing her from having fun. And then she's going to want to go out to clubs. She's going to want to do all the things that she should have done when she was younger, but she never did because she was with you, okay? And so you're the obstacle. And she's going to start doing those things, and she's going to start rubbing up against other guys when she dances and blowing a guy in the bathroom of the club and staying out all night and doing all kinds of stupid crap, except she's got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old to take care of, okay? And you, of course, all right? So if you think that that makes sense, you're not thinking straight. And if you guys have been fighting and it's been going on for a long time, that's not good for you or your kids. And
no,
for you,
exactly.
Yeah, but for you to then leave and then leave it in limbo and wait for her to make a move, you're going to get screwed. Okay?
Okay.
By the way, I just noticed something here that Adam may not know about.
Yes.
Dallas, when was your 10th anniversary?
It was last October.
Yeah, he mentioned 10.5 years.
Yep.
So you realize,
and the thing is,
we've
been having problems up until that point.
Oh, I knew the 10-year thing,
and I knew that I should have cut the ties before that if I was going to.
You knew.
And I didn't.
But he was in love!
The problem is
it all sounded so good until when I got kicked out, I moved in with my buddy, and he's the one that turned me on to listening to you guys. And if it wasn't for him, I never would have ever heard of you guys.
I understand,
and I'd be having this conversation right now, and I owe him everything.
Okay, listen, that's all charming, and thanks for the compliments. Okay, what Tom said and what I've mentioned a few times on the show is really significant. The 10-year thing in California and in other states is really a big deal.
And if you've managed to pull off 10 years with her, and you're telling me you knew about it, you knew that it was coming, and you let it slide, okay, you could be in the position, pay attention, that you're going to be paying support to her for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Do you understand?
I've told other people that.
Okay, you told other people.
But yeah,
okay.
I still did it.
All right, hold on a second. You don't sound like the oldest guy in the world. You're in your late 20s?
34.
Okay. I want you to think about a half a century from now that you're 84, okay, and you're still writing checks to her. Do you understand? You haven't even seen her in 50 years, okay, and you're still writing checks to her. Do you know how stupid you're going to feel? Seriously.
Oh, yes.
For some bitch that you knew in high school and you had kids with. The kids are all grown up and all moved out. You paid child support for years and years, and she took everything from you. And here you are, an elderly man, and you still have to pull out the checkbook every month and write her a check? Seriously? Okay? That is crazy. And the fact that you knew about it and let the 10 years slide is nothing short of depressing, dude. Really. Come on.
It is. No, it is.
It is, it is. You have this tendency where you're yesing me, but come on. Please.
No, my whole thing is I know that I'm in a shitty position. Like I said, I came on here to not only get a little bit of advice from you, but to let other guys like the caller before me and other guys that are in a similar situation to know that you guys are for real. And like when you say shit, it's not funny. It's not like a joke. You know, he thinks it's all fun and games right now, but wait till he's in my position.
Okay. I really respect that. So what are we going to do about all this?
That's what I'm here to listen to you about. You know,
so your plan seems to be at this point to wait to see what she does, essentially.
No, I mean, I've already since as soon as you said it and the rationale behind me needing to do it first, that's all I needed to hear. I'm going to make it happen as soon as I can.
Okay. So what you need to do, obviously talk to Dino or whatever, get my information. You need to hire me. Okay. We need to file a case right away, and you need to get on the frickin' horse. Okay?
Okay.
I really mean it. You don't understand the level of pain. You just don't understand. I talk to guys all the time, and they just, you know, like the last guy,
I've seen the tip of the iceberg right now, and I don't want to see the rest of it. Like, just in the month, I've seen how bad it can be, and I don't want to see how much worse it can get.
You don't understand how bloody it gets and how your life is turned upside down, and even if you live through it, it's like never quite done, okay? And to be paying and paying and dealing with her, and she's going to be a bitch. She's young and stupid. She's going to be in the position now, especially because of being this young sweetheart crap, that she's going to be pretty convinced that everything that's wrong in her life, everything, all her disappointments, everything is your fault. You understand? Okay?
Yep.
You ready to deal with that?
I've already heard it.
Well, of course. How do I predict all this? Okay?
Yeah.
Do you really, really think that she's going to shake hands and say, oh, that's okay, honey. We don't have to file any legal papers. We'll just remain friends. And, you know, you can see the kids on the weekends. No problem. You don't owe me any money. Don't worry about it. You think that's going to happen? Come on.
No, she's already asking for money.
Oh, really? What a shock.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Seriously? Money? No. Oh, wow. Tom, she's asking for money.
And quite a bit.
Tom,
she's gonna be able to buy tequila for the guy she brings over to your house.
Yeah, no shit. Tom,
oh, yeah.
Can you believe she's
more,
asking
more than
she's
that,
asking
sure.
for money, Tom?
Can I believe it?
I didn't see that coming. She wants money. Wow.
Well,
that really catches me by surprise, I gotta tell you.
Yeah,
she needs
sure.
to make home cooked meals for the guys who are banging her.
There's got to be something.
Not, I didn't get home cooked meals.
Yeah, well, she's gonna turn it all around. Trust me. Okay. When she gets
I'm
out
sure.
there, all the things that she never did for you. By the way, I hate to be disgusting about this in graphic, okay? But I have known guys that were married to women that didn't want to do specific acts of sex, okay? Like anal mm-hmm. sex or oral sex or cum in the mouth or whatever. And Tom had this woman that wouldn't have sex in the morning once they were married or whatever. Let me tell you
ain't
something.
Everything fun.
When she leaves you, divorces you, starts with new guys, every single lousy thing she ever refused to do with you, she's going to do with every single one of them, okay? As a way of spiting you in your house, in front of your kids, okay? How's that?
I wouldn't put it past her at this point.
Yeah. So do me a favor, please. Go for a walk. Calm yourself down. Do a little silent meditation. Talk to someone you respect, your dad, a priest, rabbi, whoever, and get it together, and you better get it together soon, because she's about to make a move, it sounds to me, and you better start getting it together and dealing with it, because it will strangle you. Okay?
Dallas, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Hang on. Dean is going to get your information, hook you up with Adam. We'll see what happens there.
Jeez.
We have time for one more call here. We're going to take it. Here's Dante. He is in Randallstown, Maryland. Dante, say hello to Adam Sachs.
Hey, Dante.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Dante. I used to live in Alexandria, Virginia, right near you.
Oh, really?
Yep. Long time ago.
Awesome. I have a quick question. A long time ago, a woman made a false accusation on me, and I was arrested and charged,
man.
And I was found innocent, but it took $10,000 to get out of that situation.
I'm so sorry.
And for a long time, I decided to stay away from girls, period.
Well, you know what? That's very understandable, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I mean, years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Obviously, I'm a man that has needs that need to be fulfilled.
Sure.
I was wondering if it's a good idea to either record going out on a date with like a GoPro or a mic, or having a girl sign a consent form before anything takes place.
I know what you mean. Listen,
and
that's crazy as it is, and I think we're going to do a topic on this in a week or two. We're going to do these revenge porn things, okay? Technically speaking, you know, if you make a recording of a woman like in your house having sex with you or something, you know, without her consent, that is not a good idea, okay? But leaving
it
aside,
just the day
itself. I'm with you. It's very creepy to kind of, I don't know, it's very unromantic. I don't see how it could possibly work. These student code things that they say, where, you know, you're supposed to ask consent from the woman, and you get an affirmative yes at every step of the way when you touch her on the shoulder and when you take her shirt off. I mean, I really understand, especially if you had this background where you had something terrible where the woman falsely accused you. Happens a lot, by the way.
Horrifying.
I've seen cases that are horrible. And by the way, you shouldn't feel singled out. It's happening to guys across the country. It's happening in universities. It's happening to famous people and to not so famous people. There have been some big cases in like Canada and in the Supreme Court and stuff, in Columbia University and some of the big schools. So I know it's terrible, but it is not so weird. And I'm really sorry that happened to you. And it's a warning. And I understand that would, like, you know, quote unquote, put you off women. So what I can tell you for sure is you don't want to have any kind of crazy things going on with a woman that you don't know very well, and especially if the two of you have been drinking. What we've done in our society now is we've infantilized women who, as I said earlier in the hour, are pretty immature anyway, okay? And we've infantilized them and said that they're not responsible for themselves, they're not responsible for their own decisions, that they have no agency, and that they can't make up their own minds as adults. So half the time they're telling us they're independent and they're modern, and then on the other half they're saying they're stupid and they're children and can't think for themselves. So if you meet a woman, particularly when you first meet her, so we're talking about, like, let's say the first date, okay? And she's drunk, and you're drunk, and you go to your room or whatever. I have to tell you, crazy as it is, and I know we've talked about Lycus 101, on some level, that's a big risk, okay?
I was with a woman at a bar drinking, and I said, look, I'm not going to continue to hang out with you, and just walked away because I don't want that shit in my life anymore.
No, but at least, see, this is what I was building to, okay? You don't want to go bananas the other way either, okay? I mean, you know, why not take her number and call her some other time or something, okay? Or, you know, why don't you do something, you know, nice with her that doesn't involve, let's say, having sex or whatever all the way, okay? I mean, there's definitely something where if you're going to be intimate with a woman, why not do it on the second date, okay? And why not do it when you've only had one drink, you know, rather than being really sloppy drunk, okay? And then
understood.
There are other aspects. For example, if it is a second date or a third date or whatever, that you're texting each other. That's kind of the modern thing, right? And so you text her, you know, I really want you to come to my house because I'm going to tear your clothes off. You know what I mean? And then she writes back, I can't wait. Okay? I know that sounds trivial, but that's going to be very important if she makes a claim against you that you have that text message that shows that there was some kind of consent. See what I mean?
So So no form, no GoPro camera hitting my jacket, none of that needed.
Let's say seriously that you actually whip out a form. And what does it say? I consent to have sex, and you get her to sign it and notarize it? Seriously?
I will record it on my phone that she signs it.
Okay.
I'm not taking any chances. She don't want to sign it? Okay, go away.
I think you're going to find, I'm sorry to tell you, I think 100% of women are going to refuse to sign it. Seriously. There's a whole crazy thing, as crazy as it is, when you talk about seduction, okay, that if you say to a woman, you know, can I kiss you or whatever, that's the biggest turnoff to women ever, okay?
Yeah, that's how the world is now. So.
No, it's not. It can't be. That's the whole point. The guys who get with women are the ones that are taking them and being aggressive with them and making them do things. That's what a woman wants, you see? But the problem
is
she wakes up in the morning and then she feels dirty, and then she realizes afterwards when you don't call her that actually you raped her, you see?
Right, and that's exactly what happened. But what can I do? So there's, like, no question. You know, you're saying text messages. I get that. I mean, you don't think the going on a date, having a GoPro camera in public, just, you know,
so you're gonna,
recording
okay,
every single interaction.
Me, I want to understand this now. So whatever camera, but the idea is that you're going to film her either consenting in words or signing it, and she's going to know that she's being filmed?
I mean, no, but if it comes to, I'd rather take that than a rape charge any day.
No, I understand, but how are you technically going to do it? You're going to have this camera that she doesn't see?
I have an old jacket, which I'm going to cut the pocket out of
okay.
and install a GoPro camera and a mic under my shirt.
Okay.
As silly as that sounds, that's what it's got
okay.
to do.
Okay, and then you're going to get her to start talking, and you're going to get her to say, I consent to being with you.
Exactly. I know that sounds stupid, but do you think that holds up?
No.
Oh, shit.
It's a cute idea, though. I don't think that's going to work, to be honest with you. I mean, if she's completely out of her frickin' mind, then you're in trouble anyway. And the only way you're going to be able to know if a woman is completely insane or not is if you get to know her a little bit. And that's why I suggested not having sex on the first date, but giving it a couple of dates or whatever. And if you're really, really insane and paranoid like you're talking about, you might have to wait until you're married, right?
Oh, hell no.
Well,
getting married.
Your life involves a certain amount of risk.
I'll hire a hooker before I get married.
Okay, that's your choice. I don't think it's legal in Maryland, but
and so what? Better than what happened to me.
Okay, well, I'm
just
saying.
Is that a misdemeanor?
No, I understand. I'm just saying that when you look at the context of it all, you know, there is a certain amount of risk. I mean, when you meet a guy, you know, in some circumstance, I go to someone's place to, like, buy something from them or something. I don't know. He might be crazy. He might shoot me and take the money, right? I mean, there's always risk in human interactions. So on some level, you need to kind of, you know, gauge the woman you're with. Think about her. Think about if she's, you know, crazy or she's sober or what her background is. If she's giving you red flags. A lot of guys ignore red flags.
Right.
If you go on a few dates and you have a certain amount of trust, you know, then you can have sex with her and you know she's not going to go crazy on you, you know? But,
right, so there's no foolproof method.
I don't think so. And this thing you're talking about, the GoPro camera in the jacket, sounds like this James Bond, you know, filming without her knowing. The idea that you're going to whip that out and show it to the prosecutor or the judge or the jury or the court or whatever, or the police.
I might get laughed at, but, I mean.
It's crazy stuff. It's crazy. I don't know. I guess if that's your thing, you really want to give it a try. It just seems I really think the woman is going to be like, why are you saying this to me? You know, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. And these things that they talk about in these college codes where you're supposed to have, you know, three consents or consent at every step or yes means yes or something like that. They're not practical. They don't follow reality. Men and women do not interact in that way. It's idiotic.
Right.
I'm really sorry. By the way, I must say, I'm really sorry you had this false accusation, and I see it's had a big impact on you.
It was the worst thing I've ever been through.
I'm so sorry.
I don't even know how to describe it.
I understand. It's terrible. I think you really need to talk to someone about it. It's messed you up. I'm sorry. You have, like, traumatic stress or something. You really need to talk to a therapist and work it out. Seriously. I mean, it can't put you off women for the rest of your life, Dante.
Thank you. Dante, keep in touch with us. Let us know what happens.
Jesus,
right,
Tom,
we'll
what a poor guy. Oh, my God.
I know.
Holy cow.
Jesus. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back, tell you how to get in touch with Adam. If you need to talk to Adam, we'll put you right in touch with him directly. coming up next.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
What if I told you I know how you can have more fun, spend more time with friends, entertain in style, and have the best times of your life? You'd be interested, right? Well, thanks to our good friends at Triangle Billiards, you can enjoy the fun side of life while playing pool, air hockey, shuffleboard, foosball, darts, and other great games right in your own home. Experience the fun that comes from entertaining and be the envy of all your friends. Now, imagine how great it would be to play pool anytime you want. Triangle Billiards has a full complement of quality pool tables and games at the lowest guaranteed prices on the net. Go to TriangleBilliards.com or call 866-941-2564. Or you can always visit their Orange or Costa Mesa locations and be sure to tell Joe we sent you. He's a great guy. He's a big supporter of the show. Let's support him right back. Play it your way at Triangle Billiards, the feel-good games destination. Shipping is free with your order of $50 or more. So go to TriangleBilliards.com today or call 866-941-2564.
Hey, it's French Fry. If you missed the Garandino show, you missed this.
You have a different way of talking to girls?
Yeah.
Imagine me with some titties. Come on, dude. Come on. I'd be a little brown. I got some titties. I'm ready. I'm hot for you and your fucking butt.
Go to GaryAndDino.com and remember, don't be stupid.
This just in from author Aaron Clary. He says reading books is stupid. That's right. He says it's a waste of time. You have to sit still and you can't get anything else done. That's why Aaron Clary has converted all of his books into audio. Bachelor Pad Economics, Worthless, Curse of the High IQ, Reconnaissance Man, and Enjoy the Decline. All are available in audio, all for your listening convenience. So don't just sit in a chair wasting your time reading. Get out there. Go for a hike. Go on a road trip. Hit the gym. All while taking in the best of Aaron Clary's books. You can find all of Aaron's audiobooks at Amazon.com or Audible.com.
Hammer time!
The Tom Likas Show, the bonus hour, with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me at toll-free 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook and also on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I read and answer myself, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, now if you miss your opportunity to call in and talk to Adam, don't worry, he'll be back. There'll be another appearance live with Adam where you can call in, and it's coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. 9 p.m. Eastern time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Dino.
Yes.
A Louisiana plastic surgeon accused of snapping naked pictures and videos of his patients while they're under. Crazy situation. Apparently the nurses were in on this. They put these people under, some of them cancer survivors, and while they're out under anesthesia, the nurses would start dancing around and pointing at the naked patients and stuff. The doctor's sitting there taking a video the whole time, and then he'd send it to his girlfriend.
What in the fuck?
I know.
Dr. Ali, what are you doing?
He's doing a lot of breast reconstruction. Yeah, apparently having a hell of a time. Just having a good old party over there while you're under getting implants. Crazy situation. A grandmother apparently shocked to find that on her new phone, there happened to be a video of a naked man in the shower. She got a replacement LG model, and there on the phone, she's 73 years old, is a black man in the shower with a very large penis.
Yeah, ding-a-ling.
She would like an upgrade on the phone if at all possible.
Please.
LG is trying to figure out what's going on over there.
She said, frankly, I've never seen anything like it. It made my eyes pop out. She said, I almost fainted. It was a terrible shock.
Yeah.
I've shown some of my friends, and they can't believe it either.
Poor Grandma.
Grandma Jones saw a real baseball bat.
In Michigan, police say they've got pictures of a possible suspect who's been going around placing porn on women's windshields. This is very odd, and I like it, because it's, like, incredibly creepy. He's just putting porn on women's windshields and walking away. At least 10 incidences have been reported. Four incidents. Don't throw an extra ass in there. But imagine, it's all it is, just dirty pictures. So when a woman get in their car, they're staring at a, you know, probably a nice beaver or something.
Right. By the way, it's one of the things happened in a Walmart parking lot there. So
why not? You know this very large comedian named Lunel? She's a really...
No.
Big, broad, with, like, you know, bleach blonde hair.
Oh, yeah, I think she's on, like, I don't know, like, E! Channel or
something
crap
like that.
Like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
She's going to be a penthouse.
Uh-huh.
And there are some pictures to tease you.
Oh, Lord, I see him there.
she's biggin'.
Mm-hmm.
Very biggin'.
They call her a full-figured comedian.
All right. Fine. This is all about, you know, not body shaming and the rest of it. She just said, F you. She's doing penthouse, and that's it. So I'm imagining there's some beaver shots.
Because it's penthouse.
Right, if that's your thing. She might even get into some golden shower stuff because it's penthouse.
Penthouse.
We don't know.
We're not sure yet.
No. And I'll leave it to you to check on that.
Yeah, I'll be right there.
As soon as that's out.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we know that Jay Cutler... as far as the NFL goes, his future seems to be up in the air. People speculating he'll sit this season out. Doesn't have a place to go. And as this is happening, he's vacationing with his wonderful wife, and she's taking naked pictures of him and posting them on their Instagram page.
Yeah, of him. Why I'd rather
Where's Kristen Cavallari?
Right. What the hell are we doing?
Right.
We don't need to see homie.
Dude, homie's like 100% nude from behind.
I know.
You know?
Hello, homies.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't want to see that.
No, it's definitely something you do not want to see along with your girl, Lunel, in Penthouse.
Right. It's been a 1-2 punch. Can we go back to Eminem's daughter?
Exactly.
My God.
There's plenty more at news4guys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
It made my eyes pop out.